system, I have to stand in front of this. We know I'm a roamer. Thank you for always being right on target with my talk and your music. I thought, should I call Daryl and tell him I'm going to kind of go off about being inside? I said, no, he tunes in. He knows. He knows, he knows, he knows. Thank you, Daryl.
Spirit knows.
Spirit knows, and you're part of that. So, Glenda always gives me the opportunity to take the theme of the month, which is passed through the Science of Mind churches, and they're all very relevant. But I thought, what can I tell you about thinking affirmatively that you don't already know? You know, what can I tell you about that? You do it with all of your affirmations here. You do it through your classes. But I thought, you know, I'm going to take it, and I'm going to manipulate it a little bit and hook it to the positive outlook on life. Because we know that we're taught that we want to watch what we think and we want to watch what we say. And we can always, as one of the songs says, we can always do a U-turn and we can come back and correct ourselves when we hear ourselves saying the things that aren't really what we believe. But we are so programmed through the TV and the newspaper and the politics and the social media to look at the horrible things for excitement, to the, oh my God, I can't believe that's happening. And it's okay to look at it. It's okay to read the newspaper. It's okay to know what's going on in the world politically. It's okay to look at all that, to be informed. But it's what you do with it internally that makes a difference in your life. If it pulls you down and you can't look at it, then don't look at it or don't listen to it. Just shift into neutral and let it just pass right through. Just say, I realize this is going on, but that is not my job. My job is inside of me. How do I affect the world by who I am, what I do, what I think, and what I say? My life is a dynamic force, just as yours is. And it is going to touch everybody that's around me all the time. Now, I have three dogs, and they teach me this every week because they come and they sit in a little semicircle and they stare at me like, what's on the plate today? And one of them, the Shih Tzu, cranks his little head like that. And he will not let go of that eye-to-eye concentration. And the little Chihuahua mix, he's like excited. I'm hoping for a walk. And then my female is very mellow, and she's the one that keeps me grounded, like, whatever you feel like, Mom, whatever you feel like. So I take them out in the fields, and I walk with them, and I talk with them, and I correct them, and they correct me. And so I realize that with these sentient beings coming together like that, I'm watching the practice of being in the flow, thinking affirmatively. I can walk three dogs with all these other people on the trail at the same time and not get into the negative of it's too hard, I can't do it, it doesn't matter, I should be doing something else more meaningful, because just being who you are is the true meaning of life. Being where you are, being aware of where you are and what you're doing, what kind of magnificence you're bringing to the world is your joy. It's the grace of God to give it to you, to flow through you, to make you the wonderful person that you are. And sometimes we just don't know that. We get caught up with trying to fix things out there when our job is really to give worship and praise and thanks that we have the opportunity to be here to effect the change we want to see. We are it. We are the hope of the future. And all those children coming behind us are looking at us. What are you doing? How do you think? How do you talk? What are you about? And we have the opportunity to show them, to be that place of peace, to be in the reverence of worship, to be aware of all the glory and wonder that's around us. We are living in a bowl of beautiful abundance. No matter where I look, there it is. So instead of griping about the rain I drove over in today, I said, thank you, God. We need this rain. I'm just going to slow down. If I'm a few minutes late, it's all right. I'm going to appreciate what's happening right now. And I'm going to stay present to be safe. And I'm not going to put on my speed control, as Marvin and Glenda told me, when it's raining. And I'm going to get there. And I'm going to relax. And it's going to be wonderful. Because the people here at Spiritual Enrichment Center love me. And I love you. And I can feel it. And when we come together collectively, I come together every Monday night with a book study group, Science Mind Book Study Group in Tallahassee, and there's 5 to 7 of us. And we have been together for 15 years. And the trust and the intimacy in being able to discuss where we're at and where we need prayer and how we need to turn, we're all there. We're holding each other together. We are so linked, just like you are. And I brag about this church all the time in Tallahassee. I said, you know, it's small, but they might as well be huge. They have so many speakers that come in. Glenda and her tribe are so open to acting as though they're the Mile High Church. There are classes, there is service work in the community. There's everything going on here. And isn't that remarkable to y'all that you all volunteer and make that happen, that you're so visible in this community as a fairly small congregation? So I take that same pattern and I put it on our book study. I say, you know what? Sometimes when I go into the negative, this just isn't big enough. We need to be bigger. We need to expand outer. I go, really? The teaching is so rich and the confidence and trust is a family, and whoever wants to come can. But I don't think then it makes it better if you're bigger. I think it makes it better if you're deeper and more intimate and honest with each other. And that begins first inside, doesn't it? So affirmations are a wonderful tool from taking the egoic mind into the center where you are instructing it that God is in charge, not the ego. So the ego is the one that is going to come in the mind, and it's going to say, you can't do that, you're not good enough, you're too fat, you're too skinny, you're not rich enough, you should have been further along in your career, blah, 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 blah. And so you can hear it. You can hear it because it's always talking. It's always talking. But you can go into that place which the unity and the science of mind reading this morning, particularly the science of mind reading, said about going within, and Daryl's beautiful song, where you really make the changes in the quiet space. It's not affirming, affirming, affirming. If you don't believe it, it doesn't work anyway. And in order to believe it, you have to go to the place where the creative energy is, and that is in your quiet meditation. When you go and you get still, that connection starts moving in a stronger way, and you get stronger there. You don't get stronger by affirmations. They're a tool that takes the mind from the ego back to the truth, but when you go into that place of meditation or quiet place of prayer, or just sitting quietly waiting on the voice of God to come to you where creativity is born, that's when you're infused. It's not what the ego is saying. The ego is saying you're going to be prettier, more successful, you're going to have more power if you have more money, you're going to have more love interest if you date more, you're going to have this and this, and this is all going to be more powerful for you. And it's just not true, because the real power is in the creative experience, sitting with the Creator, who will infuse you in a much deeper way than you've ever known. And it doesn't take that long, but it takes a surrender of the ego. I was thinking about the Eden story. Now, we know we have a lot of history of certain things that happen, and we know in the Bible that it is the story of mankind, and it's written in many metaphors. So think about the story of Eden. You've got Adam, and you've got Eve, and you've got the tree of knowledge. Now, why would God creator, say, you've got everything you need, unless that was true. You've got everything you need. When we sit in the silence, we've got everything we need. We don't have to listen to the projections on the TV of what they say we need. We don't need that. We need God. We need God deeper and deeper, and the richness and the well is so deep we haven't even begun to tap it. So Adam and Eve are here, and they're told you have everything you need. It's bliss, everything, anything you need. But just one caveat, don't eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So Eve, being curious, as many women are, says, well, I don't know about that. That might give me more power. Why would God, here comes the separation, why would God not want me to have more power? That doesn't sound right to me. And knowledge is power, and I think I might eat that apple. Let's see if I get Adam to eat that apple too. So she says to Adam, honey, you want to have some fruit with dinner tonight? I mean, you know he had to be in such a complacent place to say, sure, after he knew. Now, we know what the laws of God are when we come here. We know. We just have to get to the place where we remember, and we connect back to the original source. So they eat it, and there they go. Right then, it's broken. We have the separate self. Right then, the ego's telling her, girl, you go get that apple. You need more knowledge. You need more power. You do it. Don't you pay any attention to what God said. So she manipulates and gets it. But then what she loses is she loses her connection, because she went to the separation of good and evil. And God created everything that is a manifestation of 13.8 billion years of evolution. You are the result of 13.8 billion years of cosmic consciousness. Everything came to this point to create each one of us. We didn't do that. Creator did that. And it's still creating through us, in us, as us, and other sentient beings are part of this divine flow of picture too. So we can look at it and say it's good, and we can look at it and say there is evil because there are bad choices, but I'm not swimming in that river. I'm not eating that fruit. What I'm going to do is train my mind when the ego comes up and go, oh, it doesn't matter. You don't have to meditate today. Oh, it doesn't matter. You don't have to go to church. You don't have to help them. You don't have to worry about that. We're going to take that opportunity right then and say it does matter. And I'm going to look at the beginning creation in the Garden of Evil. If Creator said you have everything you need, we have everything we need. We just have to tap into it and bring it forth and use it. Ernest Holmes basically took most of the teachings of science to mind from the mystical Christian perspective. A lot of us don't like to talk about Christianity because there's a whole book written about how the Christians took Jesus and made it into a different story. But he was a wonderful, wonderful master. And there are many wonderful Eastern masters. And they all say the same thing. Come back to the source. Take your quiet time in the garden. I thought when I was listening to the Unity reading this morning, they said, oh, Jesus was out there. He was always about his Father's business. He didn't seclude himself away in the silence. I thought, yes, he did. Yes, he did. He talked about the garden. He didn't stay there as a cloistered monk. No, he didn't do that. He went out, but he went back in. He went deep. He went into the silence to find the real power and to let himself surrender enough to let that power come through whatever the day requires. Sometimes it just requires helping somebody at work. Sometimes it's helping somebody that can't get their door open in a grocery mart. You know, there's little opportunities everywhere for goodness and kindness. And that gives us strength because it strengthens our connection with one another, and that's what we want. We are looking forward to a more beautiful world that we all know is possible, and we're going to make it through affirming affirmations. There is only one power and presence in the universe in operation in my life. Right now, right here, it's working. I want to read you. Are y'all familiar with Joel Goldsmith? Isn't he wonderful? I tell you. This book, Practicing the Presence, we've done it probably one or two times in our book study, and we'll be doing it again in the future. Because as you evolve into more fully of who you are, you come more present with who you are, because I think we check out a lot. We're looking out there a lot and maybe looking within, and there is some fear for many of us to look within. It's the criticism can begin, and I'll speak for myself. The criticism can begin, the comparisons can begin, the limitation thinking is there. All of that is there. And I can separate it now. I can part the sea there of thinking and come back to, well, what have you seen in your past? What has your path been? Has God always been there? Yes. Have you always been supported? Yes. Have you had everything that you need to survive? Yes. Well, then what are we talking about? What is negative in life? If you're supported and your life means something to you and you feel good about yourself, what are you looking for? You're looking for more of that. You're looking for more of that. That's where our affirmation comes. Now, as a practitioner, we were taught the affirmative prayer, which was a five-step process of first affirming who Creator God is. Just it's taking the mind away from the ego, out of the mind now, and it's saying, you know what? God is everything. God is big, omnipotent, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. Yeah, that's really the truth, and I believe it. And what am I? I am created in the image of God. Oh, that's right. Let's see, now what would that look like? Well, it looks like everything that is created. It looks like the solar system. It looks like the dogs. It looks like the snakes. It looks like the trees. It looks like the clouds. It's everything is in part of you. So, oh yeah, that's right. That's big. God is big, and I'm created in that image. And then on the third step, you connect that union. And that's what I encourage you to do, to go into the silence. Wherever you are, it can be driving in your car. It can be sitting in meditation, but not thinking about things. Relaxing, surrendering, and practicing the presence of this all-knowing, creative, all-loving energy coming into you and filling up your cells. You can feel every single cell in your body vibrate if you do it. Everything is coming alive. Like, oh, we haven't felt this in a while, and it only gets better. And whatever your technique is, God is there. But there is something about going into the stillness that deepens your river. It deepens your connection, because you don't go there with the mind. You go there with the spirit and the soul, and you sit there, and you let it fill you. And there's no cost to it. It's free. It's revitalizing. If you're feeling an illness, if you're feeling mentally fatigued by your circumstance, it rejuvenates you. It puts things back into perspective of the original Garden of Eden. I have everything for you here. Here you are. Go forth and prosper. Here you are. Okay. You know, I write these notes and I never talk about them when I'm up here. I do it because I too doubt myself. I was listening when I was typing some notes and reading different books. This song came on this morning. I had Pandora on my radio and I thought, is that song going to speak to me? I'm going to listen. I bet it is. Sure enough, there's a young woman, a little troubadour, and here's what she's singing. And this was on the Buddha Bar station. I am what I am, she sang. I know where I stand. I don't need you to change me. I don't need you to save me. I just need you to know me, just the way I am. I don't know who sang it, but she was precious, and I thought, isn't that beautiful? Was she singing that to her boyfriend? Was she singing that to her mother and father? Was she singing it to a preacher? She was just saying, I just need you to know me, just the way I am, because I'm different, but yet I'm not different. We're all created from the same beautiful, dynamic, loving energy. I want to recommend to you a movie called Lady Bird. It's out right now, and it was nominated for a lot of Emmys. And in that movie, it's a story of a young woman in her teenage years, coming of age, finding out who she is, and her mother, who has a different idea of who she is. And she gave herself, the young girl gave herself, the name Lady Bird. And so when she goes to look for jobs, I go, oh, your name is Lady Bird? She goes, yes, that is my name, the name I gave myself. I think I like that name. And they go, oh, well, that's interesting. And her mother's over there going, I don't know what's wrong with Christine. That was a fine name I gave you. Mother, I'm Lady Bird. So the story is how to break free from old thought patterns or set patterns in our society that will tell you what you are and what you aren't. She looked at her daughter's school records, and she said, honey, we're in some financial difficulty right now. Your father has lost his job, and I'm working at the doctor's office, and we need to, you know, save our money. I just want you to know this reality. You must know the realities. She said, so I'm thinking local junior college for you, especially with your grades. And the young girl looks at her mother and she goes, no, I want to go to a big college on the East Coast. I want to go where there's art and dance, because that's what she had inside her. I want to come alive. And her mother says, well, you can't do that. We don't have the money. She just knew she was going to do it. So she said, well, go to the counselor at school and see what she says. So the counselor takes a look at her grades and says, now, you've applied where? She goes, well, to Yale, to Harvard, to some of the better universities, you know. And she looks at her grades and she goes, with these math scores? She said, I don't think math is your strong suit. And Lady Bird says, not yet. My husband just burst out laughing because he understands math in a very large way. His whole family does. And I just kept thinking about that she had the courage to say, well, not yet. Like, that skill hasn't shown up yet, but it's going to. It's going to kick in. Well, he thought that was hilarious, and I thought it was profound, because she had enough confidence to get from where she was to where she wanted to go without the skills the people told her she needed, without the path that required the skills that most people took. She was going a different way. Well, you know, one of those colleges did accept her, a small one, but an artsy one, and it was on the West Coast, and she did leave home, and she did start experiencing life. And the most beautiful scene of the movie is her just freely dancing in a park like, I made it. I made this dream come true. She didn't make it hard. Her mother couldn't understand how in the world it could happen, but it did. It happened because she believed in it, and she knew deep within her that she really was Lady Bird, and she could do it. She just wasn't the child called Christine. So I would say to you, when the ego tells you what you're not, when the ego presents its limitation thinking upon you, you don't have enough money for this, you don't have a skill for that, you don't, da-da-da-da, just like that is your point of view. But I know better, because when I am part of my creator's manifestation as I am right now, this moment, different than yesterday, different than last week, I am building a recognition of who I am. I am tapping into that ancient memory of who I was created from, and to do all things are possible to them that believe, right? All things are possible. You may not be the best student, you may not be the best dancer, but the experience of doing at any level what your heart tells you brings you joy and deepens your connection with Creator is yours to do. And it's free if you have the courage to do it. I wanted to dance and sing. So in grammar school, I always volunteered to do those things. I'd be up on stage, somebody be throwing water on me. I didn't care. It was just so much to play, to role play, to act, because I was in that position like Lady Bird was, as the oldest daughter in my family who took care of my mother's children. And so there wasn't a lot of time for play for me. And when I broke out from that, it was so freeing. Just to know that whatever I may not be the best ballet dancer. I didn't even take ballet. I may not be the best rock and roll singer. I may not be the best, but I can be the best that I am as long as I encourage myself. I stay positive in my affirmation. I am created with everything I need right here. And I can do whatever I want. As long as it doesn't hurt anybody else, right? As long as it lends to the field of synchronicity, compatibility, loving aspect to build ourselves up and make ourselves stronger. So I want to leave you with this one prayer. Shut your eyes for a moment and let me just bring to you this truth. Life lies open to me, rich, full, and abundant. My thought, which is the key to my life, opens all doors for me because I am one with infinity, divinity. I realize this unity. I proceed on my way as one who knows God goes with me, and into an eternal day of infinite privilege. I have only to open to the totality of my soul and accept that which is already ready to express through me. Today I fling these portals wide open. Today I am the instrument through which life flows. Today I am the instrument through which life flows. I know it, I believe it, and together we affirm. And so it is. Thank you.